rock and roll, baby.
Perfect. Let's go.
Hey there, Ricardo.
Good morning. This is Ricardo Capard, and we have a fantastic interview for you today. We have with us the world's greatest hypnotist, Dr. Dave Hill. Dave, are you there?
I am here, Ricardo. Pleasure to talk to you this morning.
Pleasure's all mine. As a hypnotist, you hypnotize people, and there's so much that goes along with that that we're just going to go straight into it. You talk, you introduce yourself, the stage is yours right now.
Well, I appreciate the time to talk to everybody this morning, Ricardo. I've been a hypnotist now for over 24 years. And the wonderful thing about what I do is I get to help people improve their lives, either with hypnotherapy, helping people stop smoking, remove phobias, eliminate alcohol and drug addictions. I also get to show people the power of the mind with entertainment, doing my comedy hypnosis show. And I also get to give back by teaching people all about hypnosis and the power of the mind with my hypnosis school.
Okay.
And it's a wonderful thing to be able to share this information this morning. I'm very excited to share some information about the mind-body connection and how it can contribute to success or failure in someone's life. And I'm challenged because we only have a limited time this morning, as you know. And
of
to
course,
communicate
yeah.
this effectively, the powerful thing of how the mind works, would take probably a half hour to at least explain everything. But we're going to do it in 15 minutes this morning. And it's taken me years to understand and get a real good understanding of how it all works. It's been said that the human mind were simple enough to understand, we would be too simple to understand it. And I've committed the last 24 years of my life studying human excellence, the power of the mind, and from my studies, I've learned how much I still have to learn. So my purpose today is not to have you walk away with a complete understanding of how hypnosis can assist you in accessing greater powers of your mind, but rather to have you walk away with a desire to learn and explore this amazing inner world so that you can learn how to change your own life. And when you asked me to speak here today about hypnosis and how it can produce better results in life, I realized that's where most people are concerned about improving their life and how hypnosis might be able to help you. So a way to explore that is to learn that hypnosis can produce better results in your life. And one way you can do that is by simply learning what you believe to be true is true for you only.
Ooh. Would you repeat that one again, please?
Sure. What you believe to be true is true for you only. So when I speak to most people that want a change in their life and to change their results, the key is in order to change, you must change the way you think about the item you want to change.
Okay.
Rather than think that someone or something will change you. You see, what we do as hypnotists is we facilitate change.
Okay.
And we can do it much faster than a psychiatrist or a psychologist or traditional therapy because of the nature of the therapy that we do. It's important to also remember that all therapy works for some of the people some of the time. So there's no bad therapy. It's just that hypnosis for certain things can be much faster to help people improve their life.
Ooh. So it's for those that it works for, it's almost like Cliff Note versions of life improvement.
That's exactly right. And the funny thing is, most people I talk to that want to change their life and want better results, they're all unwilling to do what's necessary to change their results. They don't want to do the work. So, for example, I had in my office yesterday a lady who is 40 pounds overweight, and she wanted me to hypnotize her in one session so she would lose all the weight. She was unwilling, Ricardo, to change her diet, and she was unwilling to do any exercise. She just thought that if I hypnotized her, the weight would go away.
I know the feeling.
So it's similar to, you know, someone wants to learn how to market their business, but they don't want to do anything.
Yes, exactly.
They just want to hang a shingle up on the roof, get a telephone, put their name out on the front on a sign, and they think everyone's going to walk in and fill up their cash register with money.
No, it doesn't work that way. Not at all. We have to make those hard changes, and not necessarily that they themselves are hard. The changes may be simple or easy, but the implementation takes some work.
That's right.
And that work.
That's exactly right. You know, and results in life are based upon one thing: our behavior and no one else's. And most people are unwilling to change their behavior. You know, I read a study the other day, 97% of the people who buy a motivational book or buy a motivational tape or CD program or go to a motivational training program for 3 days and they invest all that money and time to do it, 97% of those people never, ever open the book, listen to the tape, or when they come back from the training program, implement any of the ideas that they learned. Only 3% of the people do.
So is there any wonder that we're in the situation that we're in as a society, as a people, as a group, with the things that are going on nowadays?
You're absolutely right. I like to call it the fast food syndrome. People like to go into a restaurant, and they expect their hamburger, fries, and Coca-Cola to be delivered in 30 seconds or less. And if they go into a nice dining restaurant to eat and the service takes longer because they're actually preparing better food, they get impatient. And if someone opens up a business or decides to go on a program to improve their life and the change doesn't happen immediately, what do?
They quit.
They quit and they move on to the next thing that they think will work.
And I find that when I'm talking to people dealing with clients or customers in marketing, or even when you're studying your marketing or studying your business, and you talk to people that are not students like you are or we are,
mm-hmm.
They seem to believe that you've been studying that for 2 or 3 years, you should be rich now.
Right.
Compared to the fact that you need a 8 to 12 year degree to be a doctor or a master's or psychiatrist. But nobody has a problem with you spending 12 years in school for
that's
degree,
right.
And then another 8 years to make money.
That's right.
But if you're doing something that's not of that type of learning curriculum, everybody thinks it's supposed to happen immediately.
That's right. Everyone thinks you're going to be an overnight success.
Yes. Yes.
And that's not how it works.
No, not at all. And unfortunately, many people, I guess the same motivational type of people, go into it expecting that. And they keep looking for the overnight magic message or the magic thing that's going to get them there without the work.
You know, that's exactly right. You know, it's hypnosis is the same way. It's a very effective tool to help people improve their lives. But, Ricardo, as you say, it's not magic. Before one changes their behaviors, they must first change the amount of potential they tap into. And I personally firmly believe that we all have unlimited quantities of potential. But some of us never tap into that potential because of our beliefs. And our belief in our abilities is where all of this begins. And ironically, Beliefs are reinforced by our results. And this produces a never-ending loop. So if somebody keeps producing a poor result, they get into that spiral where they're spiraling downhill as opposed to spiraling toward achievement. And this is what I refer to as the circle of life. But in actuality, it's really not a circle at all. It's a spiral, a three-dimensional spiral. And that's what life is all about. You know, we're either spinning toward taking you to a greater level of success and achievement with everything that we can do in life, or we can go down to great levels of despair. You're either winning or you're losing. You're either getting closer to what you want to get or further away with every action or non-action that you take during the day. And the exciting thing is, some of us may even be afraid of this part. There is no constant. Everything is changing all of the time, and you have to embrace that change each second of each minute of each hour of each day of each week of each month of each year, because your beliefs are either taking you up or they're taking you down. And the question for all those folks who are listening to us is, which direction are you headed in your life? And if you don't like the direction you're headed in now, how can you begin to reverse this process today, this minute, right now, and head in the direction you want? And that's what we should explore, is how you can change your life and get better results. But you can't do any of that until you change the way you think and you change your behaviors first.
True.
And some people like to say it's someone has luck. Well, there's an old wise man who said, dig your well before you're thirsty. And we can't rely upon dumb luck month after month, day after day, to generate cash, to improve your life, to help you become a non-smoker, to run a better business, to lose weight, to build wealth, to increase the number of customers you have. You have to have a plan, and you have to work that plan.
True.
And we could safely say that you can't reliably change your results without first changing the way you think and the way you behave.
I'm going to expand upon that, because I was doing a radio show the other night that I do with someone, and we talked about the power of belief. And I'm just going to repeat the Napoleon Hill quote that we mentioned.
Sure.
He says, anything the human mind can conceive and believe, it or you can achieve. And that just goes hand in hand with what you're saying about changing our belief and what we have to do ourselves to make changes in life.
That's exactly right, Ricardo, because anything that's occurred in the past is not a dictator of what will occur in the future of your life. The past does not equal future results. And that's where hypnosis works its magic, because hypnosis is one of the many techniques that's available to everyone today, which can assist us in changing our limiting beliefs. And that's the exciting thing, where you can take someone who's had a fear, for example, of public speaking for 20 years, and in less than 20 minutes, that fear is gone forever. All of those fears from the past are gone, and now they can live free to their potential.
Do you come across a lot of people that have fears that hold them back that are simple to solve, since you are the world's greatest hypnotist? And does it sometimes amaze you?
Well, it amazes me because of the way people believe their life to be true. People will come in and be convinced that they're never going to amount to something. They'll come in convinced that they can never stop smoking. They'll come in convinced I had a lady come in the other day who is a San Francisco policewoman, and she wants to become part of the mounted police patrol, and she's afraid of getting on a horse. We had a lady come in the other day who was afraid to start her own business because she was afraid if she started her own business, she would make more money than her husband. And in her culture, she was Japanese, that's a sin.
Okay.
We had people come in who have been addicted to alcohol, cocaine, meth for 8, 15, 20 years, who don't think life will ever change. And we have to go back with them and explain to them that the first moment they changed was the time they started to believe the belief they have now. For example, the alcoholic who has the belief that when they get up in the morning, they have to have a drink.
Mm-hmm.
The meth addict who the first thing in the morning has to have a hit of meth to wake up. The person who's afraid to speak in public. I had one lady who was so afraid of speaking in public that when she was walking down the hallway of her company office to go deliver a presentation to 15 people in a conference room, she called in sick from her cell phone.
Are you serious?
I'm absolutely serious, and she went home. To people who don't think they can ever be thin because they believe that that is their destiny. And if you believe that to be true, then for you it is true. And until you change that belief, nothing in your life will change. You know, it's similar to when we watch sporting events and a team gets whipped in the first half of an event and they go into the locker room and something happens in that locker room. Someone or a coach delivers some sort of motivational message and the team comes out and doesn't even appear to be the same team that we saw in the first half of the game and they destroy the other team. How does that happen? Same people, same talent, same players, same coaches, same football field, but how does that happen?
Just their thoughts.
Their thoughts changed.
And it seems like not only did their individual thoughts change, then it seems like it became a mass energy that took over, and not only did they work harder themselves, the exponential part of it, them working together, 1 + 1 = 4.
That's exactly right. You know, it reminds me of the story of Roger Bannister in the 4-minute mile.
Yes, yes. You can repeat it. That's a great story.
You know, he was the very first man, as we all know, to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. And before he did that, medical doctors were convinced that no one, no human being would be ever able to run a mile in less than 4 minutes because it was physically impossible for a man to run faster than that. And yet when he finally did that, what happened?
About 3 or 4 more people did it within 4 or 5 months.
That's right. And then by the end of that year, over 50 people had run the mile in less than 4 minutes. Because what they believed to be true, that someone could not run a mile less than 4 minutes, was no longer true anymore.
Yeah, true.
And so that limiting belief disappeared.
And it's amazing when you think about the amount of the mind that we don't even use. What you mentioned earlier about the potential that we have.
That's right. And there's a misstatement out there that we only use 10% of our mind. Here's the problem with that. The way we look at a mind as a hypnotist is the mind's made up of the conscious and subconscious mind. And your aware mind is the conscious mind. That makes up 10% of your mind. That's what you're aware that you're doing. 90% of everything else that goes on in your life takes place in the subconscious mind. So, for example, all the folks that have been listening to us so far for this long in our program this morning, how many of you have thought about making your heart beat since you've tuned in to us? How many of you have thought about breathing? How many of you have thought about the fact that your eyelids are blinking? How many of you have thought about the fact that while you're sitting there listening to us or driving your car, that your food is digesting and all those internal organs are running and keeping you alive, that you don't have to think about seeing because your eyesight does it. You don't have to think about hearing because your ears automatically do that. You don't have to think about breathing because your lungs and your breath are all controlled automatically by your subconscious mind. You don't have to think about tasting food because when you put it in your mouth, your tongue automatically tastes it. All these things go on at the subconscious level that we're not aware of. And what most people, Ricardo, don't know is that their aware mind, their conscious mind, only does four things. It analyzes information using all of our senses, and then in an instant, it makes a decision. It makes a reason to believe from their analysis, and that belief comes from not logic that they think being logic. It comes from your emotional programming, your conditioning, that's all stored in your subconscious mind. So you make that decision instantly about whether or not you like somebody. For example, people might sit in a room and watch a couple of people get up and talk, and some of the people may gravitate more toward one speaker or the other because they like something about them. Well, they make that assessment instantly with their analysis and their internal programming. Okay. So, for example, if we interviewed a bunch of people, Ricardo, and we asked them, are you a Republican or Democrat? And then if we went back and we looked at their family history, most of the people who would say they're Democrats, well, if we looked at their family history, their mom and dad probably were Democrats.
Yep.
And if we look at their other side of the coin, mom and dad might have been Republicans because no thought process was gone into changing their belief. 80% of the people walk along wondering what's happened to them because they just live in this world of the conscious mind. The next thing that happens, the third thing your conscious mind does, is it has what's called willpower.
Okay.
And we're coming up to New Year's Day where people make a lot of resolutions to change their life. How long does willpower last?
Not long.
Very, very, very short.
They stop. That's the reason why you have the spikes at the gyms, and they oversell at the gyms. They oversell the memberships, and they put you on the 2 and 3 year plans because they know at the end of the 30-day period
you're not going to be there.
Becoming.
Yeah, there'll be plenty of floor space for all the members who aren't there. So what happens is willpower is, again, in that 10% of your mind, your conscious mind.
Okay.
If you have a habit of being overweight or being a smoker or a drinker or afraid to make cold calls to improve your business, afraid to initiate a marketing program to increase your business, whatever the case may be, that's your habit. So if 10% says, I'm going to change, but 90% hasn't changed, who wins? Well, the subconscious rules all the time. So that's where hypnosis comes in, because we can help someone change their belief, which is that habit. And we'll get to that in a moment. The other thing that happens is if someone changes cold turkey, because we hear about that, the person who stopped drinking, the person who just stopped smoking, the person who stopped spending money and started to create wealth, the reason that happens is because in their mind, using their imagination, if they see that if they continue down the path they're on, the path leads only to more and more pain. And because they don't want to inflict any more pain on their body, they change instantly. A great example of this is if we take President Bill Clinton and we take the fact of how did Bubba look when he was president eating cheeseburgers and fries? He was very heavy. Bubba now, President Clinton, after having a heart bypass surgery. You all right over there, Ricardo?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I thought
okay.
I muted it out. I'm sorry. Oh,
that's all right. I'm just making sure my friend's okay.
So, thank you, Dave.
You're welcome. Now, the thing about President Clinton that's very fascinating is You look at him today, he's very, very thin. Because that scare of being on the doorstep of death was enough to change him.
Okay.
That's instant change. Most people don't have that. They don't sit there and, when they smoke a cigarette, think they're going to pass away. It's not the one cigarette that's going to kill that smoker. It's the hundreds of thousands of cigarettes they smoke over their lifetime that's going to kill them. It's not the one piece of cheesecake that's going to cause someone to have the heart attack. It's the cheesecake every night for years and years with lack of exercise that's going to lead to the closing of their arteries.
For the whole cheesecake every night, not the slice.
I'm being polite. Or the whole Domino's pizza, Ricardo.
I have to be honest. I'm a junk food eater. Mm-hmm. And I've seen my weight go up because of eating a lot of junk food compared to cook. I don't have that major problem because I'm eating better. And even if I don't work out, it doesn't put it on me as much as eating that stuff. And I find I even eat more when I get junk food because I guess it's not nutritionally balanced. So I have to eat more of it to try to make my body feel better.
That's right. The carbohydrate in that food makes you hungry.
Yes, yes.
And that's what people don't realize. You know, if you go back and you watch some of the old newsreels of the 30s, the 40s, and 50s, you know, where people went to ball games wearing a suit and tie and a hat, and you look back at those days, you don't see that many heavy people.
No, you wouldn't. You really wouldn't.
And when you look back at it, you simply have to ask, how come they're thin? And the reason they're thin is twofold. One is the diet they ate was not the same as what we eat now.
Okay.
The second is they got more exercise. People had to walk more just because of the way our transportation system was set up. So they did more physical activity, and they did not eat all the unhealthy foods we eat now. And when you wanted to go do something, you couldn't call someone on the cell phone. You couldn't get on the internet and email them. You didn't sit at home playing a video game. You went outside to play when you were a little kid. All of that has changed. The culture has changed.
I walked everywhere when I was a kid. I wasn't as heavy as I've become as an adult, even when I skied.
That's right.
5 or 6 years ago when I skied all the time, I was heavy, but I was a pretty healthier heavy. Then when I stopped skiing, and suddenly that sedentary lifestyle just...
It changes everything. So we just have to look back, and you can find ways to change. So the last thing, is we not hold everyone in suspense here, but the last thing that goes on in your conscious mind is you have what's called temporary memory. That's the fourth thing going on. And what that simply is, you know, the wife calls you on the phone, Ricardo, and says, bring home a few items from the store. You can listen to that on the cell phone. You don't have to jot it down. You bring them back. Someone gives you a phone number. You can call it back right away. Or you went on a wonderful trip to Disneyland. You remember the wonderful trip you had. You stayed maybe at the Disneyland Hotel. But when you come back, maybe you were in room 1212. And if I ask you what room number you were in, you don't remember the room number because you don't need to know that anymore. Or if we ask somebody, what did you have for dinner 3 Wednesdays ago? You don't know.
No, you don't
need to hold on to that information. So that's the four things that your conscious mind does, and that's it. Everything else goes on at your subconscious level. And the subconscious level, when you were born, the day you were born, it was a clean slate. It was completely empty. And on the day of your birth is when you started to store information in your subconscious mind. All of your emotional experience, all of your memories, all of your programming, your conditioning as a person gets stored on a hard drive. And that hard drive never, ever runs out of space and continues to fill until the day you pass away. And what's interesting is there's something we call the critical factor, which protects that subconscious mind from real or imagined danger. Now, that critical factor doesn't develop in human beings until somewhere between the ages of 7 and 12. It depends upon their social upbringing and conditioning is when that gets formed. And what that simply means is all the information that gets bombarded by the authority figures in that child's life until that ability critically think about things and filter information out, go right into the subconscious and program that human being. And that's where a lot of fears develop early on that we can help change under hypnosis. More importantly, though, it's important to understand also that during your life, that critical factor can relax as you get older and you can be influenced by suggestion. So let me prove that to you. Ricardo, if I say two words, Happy Meal, what do you think of?
McDonald's.
Bingo. And that simply means that during those commercials of McDonald's, what they've done during those commercials is they've hypnotized you. They've programmed you with what we call waking suggestion. It's not brand awareness. That's just a clever term by advertisers to create a reason to buy their services. It's simply waking hypnosis. If I say the Colonel, you think of?
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Bingo. This is what happens, is when you sit down and you watch television, or you're listening to the radio, or reading a magazine where all of these words are, you're sitting down at the television set saying, I'm just going to sit down and relax. And so you set aside your critical factor, your ability to think. And so when that suggestion comes in, it bombards you. And we get bombarded, Ricardo, with what, 3,000 messages a day?
Yep.
3, is that about right?
That's about 2,000 to 3,000.
Yeah, and in most of those, you're not critically thinking of them. They just continue to bombard you. And it's the repetition of those thoughts and images that cause these instant hypnotic suggestions to go right into your subconscious mind. So in addition, what happens is the subconscious also doesn't know the difference between what we call real or imagined danger. So the best proof of that for people is, well, I don't believe that to be true, everyone will say. And I'll say, that's fine. You ever been to a movie at a movie theater? Everybody in this country has. You go into that movie theater and you see a movie that's scary. Some of us that are old enough to remember Jaws, sitting in that movie theater the very first time that shark came out of the water, you can remember everyone in that theater leaped out of their seats.
Yep.
And why was that? It was a fake image on a screen. Well, the movie theater is very hypnotic.
Yes.
They condition you. So when you go into a movie, they have a process. The first thing you do is you buy your tickets. After you buy your tickets, you must smell popcorn. You have no choice. And most people will stop by the popcorn stand and they will pick up some sort of food. The reason they want you to get food in your belly is when you eat food, you put something in your mouth, it is a symbol to the mind of security, of safety. And here's where that comes from. It comes again back to the day you were born. When the baby is born, the umbilical cord is cut. After the doctor slaps them on the bottom, the first thing they do is they give them a pacifier. And as a little baby, you think of that pacifier as security. The reason, though, the baby's given that pacifier is to teach them how to suck so they can start to get nourishment when they get fed. But the baby first thinks of it as security, something in the mouth. So this is that deep instinct of food and why the movie theaters feed you. Then you go into the movie theater and the lights are sort of dim. And in the old days, they just would play trailers, but now we get bombarded with some advertisements too.
True.
And then right before the movie's going to start, they dim all the lights and they've added something in recent years, and that's the little sound check. The Lucas sound check or the THX sound check so they can activate your hearing sense. Well, they bombard the different speakers with noise.
Okay.
And then they darken the theater completely and everybody in the theater always goes shh, because now that's the signal to suspend your disbelief and let Hollywood entertain you for the next 2 hours. The other thing they do is they use a technique we use in hypnosis called eye fixation. And the way they do that is the screen is so large, the only place you can fix your eyes is on that screen. And that eye fixation helps put you into deep hypnosis. So now your critical factor is suspended and your mind is now open to the non-critical acceptance of new thoughts, ideas, concepts, and suggestions, which is the movie.
Okay.
So, you have a subconscious mind that stores all your information, your emotional programming. It stores all the conditioning you have. It stores all your habits. You have three types of habits, good, bad, and utilitarian. We touched on the utilitarian habits earlier in the program where we talked about breathing, heart rate, eyes blinking and closing. Those are things done automatically that are done to control your life by the subconscious mind. But habits are good or bad according to you. And that goes back to what you believe is true for you. So look at what they did with cigarettes. The brainwashing we did with cigarettes was, we knew cigarettes would kill people. They knew that. They knew that when they made them. So what they did was, to sell cigarettes, they had to associate it with what?
They had sexiness.
Right.
In the movies where they would have them on the long stick cigarette holders.
Sophistication. Success.
Success. The attractive right. men, the attractive females.
Right. So that's how they sold cigarettes, is they interrupted the pattern of killing yourself with, if you do this, you'll be successful. You'll be rich, you'll be famous, you'll attract pretty women. Women who smoke will look beautiful and sexy, all of those things. They even yep. used to say Winston tastes good like a cigarette should.
Yep, I remember that one.
But anyone who smoked a cigarette remembers that first cigarette didn't taste good. Never did. Or you'd rather fight than switch.
Yes, I remember that one.
Right?
Wasn't that Lucky Strike?
That was Lucky Strike, that's right. See what they did? Or you're going to be a Marlboro man. You're a symbol of toughness.
Yes.
So this is how they sold cigarettes. Hypnotic language.
Kids, but Joe Cool.
That's right. So it's important to be cool. That's why they had cool cigarettes. K-O-O-L.
Yep.
Okay. So it's fascinating. That's really, how they do it.
You don't think about it. I've always thought about the sin of the popcorn, and it never made sense to me because during the younger days when you're dating, you go to dinner.
Right.
You leave the dinner, and the person tells you, I cannot eat dessert.
Right.
You get in the car, drive directly to the movie theater, and they want popcorn and candy.
That's right.
Well, how could you want that? You just ate.
Yeah, because it's the smell activating your senses. If you've ever gone down to Disneyland, anyone that's gone to Disneyland, they do the same thing at Disneyland. When you walk through the gates, there's a little foyer area or entryway before you walk under an archway to go into Disneyland.
Okay.
Above the archway, there is some words. And when you walk under that archway, you have to see the words. Now, you may not actually read them, but your eyes will see them. It's a subconscious hypnotic suggestion, and it says, the happiest place on earth. So you can literally watch families arguing by the gates or by the ticket place, and when they walk under that arch, there's an instant change because Walt Disney is programming you to be happy. Then what you do is they're very smart. You walk into Main Square, where the main street area is. And the first two people you see are Walt and Mickey, a statue. Now, for the older folks like us, Ricardo, well, we remember seeing Walt on television, so he's a familiar character to us. But all the kids know the mouse, right?
Yeah.
So he gets both of us, the older people with Walt, the younger kids, Mickey. And then there's normally in Main Square, there's normally some characters there walking around, Donald Duck, perhaps sometimes Mickey's there or Minnie Mouse, and usually there's a band.
Yeah.
Because we love bands in America.
Yep, there's a band there and a parade and all
that's
kinds
right.
of stuff right
and
there.
Then you walk down Main Street, and that's a takeoff on 1950s America, where the center of the universe of every town was Main Street. The barber shop was there, the donut shop was there, the ice cream store was there, the pharmacy was there, the drug store was there. The movie theater was there. Your favorite restaurant was there. The Five and Dime was there. It was a safe place to go hang out. And as you walk down Main Street, you get hungry at Disneyland. And the reason you get hungry is they pump out the smell of the food into the street from each of those eating facilities that are there as you're walking down Main Street. And then they even got more clever. Remember when the lines used to be really long at Disneyland to ride a certain ride? Well, they created a concept called an e-ticket ride. So it justified in your mind that it was okay to stand in line for a long time because it was an e-ticket ride.
I remember the e-tickets.
Yeah.
I remember those.
Yeah. So see what happens there? It's conditioning you. It's okay to stand in line for an hour because this is an e-ticket ride. It's worth it.
Now it seems like everything's an e-ticket.
That's right.
And they zigzag them. But the last thing I've noticed, they have fast passes.
Right.
So you can certain rides, the changing of e-tickets. Certain rides you can get pre-tickets and then come back later on with your pass to bypass the line.
Right, because you've now made an appointment to take the ride.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. We've made an appointment to come back and ride a ride.
Yeah. So they've created a way to keep it fun, even though the fun of the whole thing was the spontaneity of being in the park.
Oh, they're good.
They're very good. So now, that what's going on in your subconscious mind after the habits is, the reason people don't change is they're lazy. The subconscious mind is lazy. It prefers to do certain things certain ways. And the way I can prove this, although nobody's here to physically see us, Ricardo, is this. If you think about when you get up in the morning, you probably put on one sock first and then the other, and then you probably put on one shoe and then the other. Now, if tomorrow morning or right now when you get home or if you're sitting at home, do it the other way and it just won't feel right. Most of you drive the same way to work every day because you're comfortable doing that. Most of you do certain routines every day. When you get up in the morning, some people might go out and actually exercise first thing in the morning. Some people may go brush their teeth first thing in the morning. Some people have to get the morning paper. Whatever it is, everyone has a little ritual that they follow because you get comfortable with it. Those of us that are men, your wives may say that you putter when you get home. And that may be the little way you unwind when you get home. But we all do that because it's much easier to do something that you're comfortable with. It's the change that we're no longer comfortable with. And that's why people live in that little world of belief that leads them to the path of a life they no longer are happy with.
I take it that at our meeting in January, you'd be able to discuss that and help us there a little bit with that belief system?
Absolutely. I have actually a little exercise we're all going to do to prove to people who are there in January that in an instant, I'm going to change everyone's belief in that room.
Okay.
And not only that, I'm going to give them a handout that they can work on along with us during that meeting to show them how their beliefs work.
I didn't check with you about this before, but I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, Dave.
Fire away.
Do you have anything that you can do for our members when they show up in January to teach them how to do a basic self-hypnosis to help themselves with some of these things that we've talked about today?
Yes, I can. In fact, in 2 minutes, I can teach them how to hypnotize themselves.
So in 2 minutes, you could teach them at our meeting how to hypnotize themselves.
That's right.
Ooh.
What do you think of that?
I love it.
Not even some of the great trainers you've been to would ever say that.
No, not at all. So we have the
and I will, anybody who's been through hypnosis before with somebody else, will have never learned this technique unless they learned it from me because it's a technique that I created.
You really are the world's greatest hypnotist.
And it's going to be fun in January, Ricardo.
I'm looking forward to it. That's our main part of our call. It's been almost, we're almost at the 60-minute point for their CD, those that are not on the call. I want to thank you very, very much for doing the call with me. Please don't hang up. But those of you that are listening, again, this has been Dr. Dave Hill, the world's greatest hypnotist, and he's going to be our guest speaker at our January meeting in San Leandro. Of course, when you check your mail or you go to the meetup site that you know of or email, you will see the location, you will see the time, and again, you will see the date. It's not going to be on the CD, but you will see it there, and the CD will be in your home before the meeting, and you'll have emails and mail before that. Dave, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Ricardo. It's been my pleasure.
Oh, the pleasure's been all mine. And talk to you soon.